Everybody, welcome back to the Bible Tidbits Podcast. I'm glad you joined us today. Today we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 16. The whole chapter, it's only 16 verses. And we're going to see Sarai and Hagar and a little occurrence that happens here between these two women. As we know, God has promised him, Abram, many descendants and to be a great nation. But his wife Sarai is barren, and this is where we're going to start to see some of the conflict with that. But before we get too deep in that, as always, I want to start off the reading of a brief devotional thought or prayer of some sort. And this is actually, I'm going to read two parts from what is probably one of my favorite books of all time, and it is The Holiness of God by R.C. Sproul. This is what I believe, thinking back, it was the first Christian book that I read, you know, outside of the Bible, of course. And I'm now a avid lover and reader of many Christian books. But this was the first one. And this one had one of the most profound impacts upon my life. And it was also related to a teaching series that R.C. Sproul did. And me and a buddy watched through his teaching series, and it had a very profound effect on my life as well. We watched it. We actually found the original one on a VHS tape, and we were able to persuade a VHS player to work. I didn't want to when we first found it, and we met for weeks going up there. You know, once a week we would sit up there and watch it and discuss and think through it, and it really had a profound effect on my life. So I'm going to link this book down below, of course, as I'll usually will link whatever I read down below if you'd like to learn more. But I would highly recommend reading this book. It talks about the importance of God's holiness. But let me read just a couple short excerpts from that. He says this: God is inescapable. There is no place we can hide from him. Not only does he penetrate every aspect of our lives, but he penetrates it in his majestic holiness. Therefore, we must seek to understand what the holy is. We dare not seek to avoid it. There can be no worship, no spiritual growth, no true obedience without it. It defines our goal as Christians. God has declared, "Be holy because I am holy." To reach that goal, we must understand what holiness is. And then in another spot, he says this: the human dilemma is this: God is holy and we are not. God is righteous and we are not. This gives us a lot to think about, especially in the respect of Genesis. You know, a lot of the dilemmas, a lot of the issues go back to the fact that God is holy and we are not. And in that book, he describes what holiness is. But may we remember that as we go through life. And as we begin this section, you know, we talk about Abram being a hero of the faith, and there's so much to learn from him. Well, today we see that God is holy and we are not. God is holy and Abram is not, as we'll see a stumbling here in chapter 16. So this chapter, as we go into it, it's a lapse in their trust of God. We've seen Abram being very trusting in God throughout his life that we've seen so far in Genesis. You know, he tells the king of Sodom, "I don't want your spoils. You keep them. I'll trust in the Lord." He cuts this covenant with God. He trusts them, saying, "Lot, you take whatever land you want. I'll go the other way because I know God will provide for me." And he trusts in his promises for everything. But we see that comes to a lapse here. See, here it is made clear that Abram himself is not the son of promise. And it brings into doubts whether his son will be the son of promise as well. You know, essentially, this is a repetition of the sin that we see in the Garden of Eden. They don't trust in the Lord. Then the man goes into submission to the woman. As in Genesis, we see And throughout the Bible, we see that man is supposed to be the head, the leader. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam not leading and falling into the sin by listening to the woman there. And here we see Abram not leading and falling into the sin because of the woman here. And it's crazy to think, though, that all of this occurs right after profound levels of trust are put into God and after the covenant ceremony. I mean, just think of the imagery we seen last week as God cut this covenant. They were promising him he would do this in such a mighty and powerful way. And their trust does not seem to last very long whatsoever. And it's just this failure in their life. I want to read from Galatians before we get going too deep here. Galatians chapter 4, and I didn't bookmark this. But Galatians chapter 4, verses 24 through 31. Galatians 4, 24 through 31. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as that time, he who is born according to the flesh persecuted him who is born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? "Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free one." So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. This is talking about the relationship between Sarai and Hagar. And one brief note on this passage is Paul, as he wrote Galatians, says, "Now this may be interpreted allegorically." One of the great faults of the early church was the use of allegory and interpretation techniques similar to that. And Paul says that we may interpret this allegorically in light of the New Testament. Now, whenever we read this chapter ourselves here in Genesis, we aren't interpreting it allegorically. We're looking at Paul's allegorical interpretation in Galatians 4 of it. And we should not interpret things allegorically unless the biblical authors do it themselves. So Paul did it himself in Galatians 4. So that's inspired scripture there. So we do that there. But as we look at other positions, we should not do that ourselves because we are not the biblical authors. But anyway, we see a distinction made between Sarai and Hagar. And the chief concern here is the barrenness of Sarai. We see her being concerned and she has no children. And she's going to try to fix it herself instead of trusting in the Lord. So there at the beginning of 16, we see, you know, the first verse itself distinguishes a hierarchy between these two women. We see that Sarai is Abram's wife, and then Hagar is her servant from Egypt. You know, and Sarai asked Abram to have children by the slave Hagar. And the language here is the same as Eve in the garden. Sarai's saying, "I can have no children. Take my slave and she can have children and they can be mine." And Abram's response, it's quite shocking. It's similar to Adam's in that he didn't take charge and say, "No, that's not what God said." But he listened to her and said, "Okay, yes." And truthfully, Sarai, she accomplishes exactly what she intended to do with all of her plan and scheming here. But she did not see a division between herself and Hagar coming. She accomplished what she wanted. You know, Sarai or Hagar had a child by Abram. And that's exactly what Sarai wanted. But we'll see Sarai never claims the son, Ishmael, as her own, like she originally intended. And this creates a division between herself and Hagar. You know, and she tries to condemn Abram for all of this. But he stands as though he's innocent, which he's not innocent. But he does push it back on her. And all of this leads to Sarai mistreating Hagar and Hagar fleeing away from Sarai. So we see quite the drama going on here between these two women as Sarai tries to take matters into her own hands, saying, I guess, basically losing trust in God, saying, if he's not going to do it, maybe he wants us to figure this out ourselves, which is not true. God wanted them to wait on him. And where Hagar flees, it's near the border of Egypt. So it's possible that she was hoping to go home. And it's quite interesting. The distinction we see, the fertile woman, Hagar, is in the barren land. Then the barren woman, Sarah, is in the fertile land. See, this angel of the Lord, that's a messenger. And he comes to speak directly for God. And the angel tells two things to Hagar: her status in Abram's house and the future of her son. And verse 12 shows us that her son will not be the savior and he will not continue the elect line. Where it says he shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over all his kinsmen. So he's not the savior, and he's not going to continue the elect line. But we do see that there's promises made to him. You know, and Hagar has realized through all of these promises and all of this occurrence that God is a God that sees us and a God that hears us, and that this isn't something to take lightly. You know, God spoke to her here. He listened to her. He makes promises to her, even amongst the mistreatment by Sarah, even amongst all of the sin of this. You know, he is still, Ishmael, her son, is still going to take part in some blessing, though it's not the complete blessing of being the elect line and the chosen one. But he will share in the blessings of circumcision, as we will see in the next chapter. And we're going to see that God does not completely hang them out to dry in this. So it shows the mercy of our God. And then at the very end, those last two verses, we see Abram, he acknowledges Ishmael as his son. And the unlikelihood that the promised son will come is seen in Abraham's age. We see that he's 86 years old. And Sarai's, you know, up there too. So we begin to wonder ourselves, you know, God is promising that this is going to happen. Maybe it will be Ishmael. It's confusing, you know, if we don't know the end, which we do. We do know that God will fulfill all of his promises. But it brings the question, Abraham's getting old, Sarai's getting old, and Ishmael's not the one. And this is meant to push the trust in God even further, even deeper. You know, they're getting old. There's this promise made. They've stumbled. They've fallen into sin. But God's not going to leave them because of this. God doesn't leave the ones that are a result of sin, Ishmael. God's not going to leave Abraham. He's not going to leave Sarai. He's going to be with them all. They've stumbled, but God's a forgiving God. We're going to see this isn't going to remove Abraham from his position as a hero of the faith. But he does repent of this. He does have to turn from this sin. He does have to realize that this is sin. And we too should realize our own sin. We too should repent of it. You know, though just last chapter, we see how Abraham was declared righteous because of his faith, you know, and now he's fallen back into sin in our own lives. We're going to fall back into sin in the same way. You know, we're saved. I hope you're saved. If you're not, please get that right and put your faith in Jesus Christ. But for most of my listeners, I assume you are. And we're still going to sin. This salvation doesn't make us perfect. And whenever we do sin, we need to turn back to God immediately. We need to recognize that sin and repent of it so that we can continue to grow closer to God. You know, it's the repentance of sin that makes our faith evident in our life. If we continue to live in sin forever and ever, it brings into question the trueness, the reality of our faith. And so may we be people of great faith like Abram. And when we stumble, may we turn back to God and not continue on in the stumbling like so many today do. And may we trust in God to the point that we don't get in situations like he's in now. He had such amazing trust in God, and that it all fell apart here tonight. But may that not be the same for us. Next week, we're going to be in a bit of a longer section again. We'll be in chapter 17, verse 1 through chapter 18, verse 15. We're going to see more covenant language as we talk about circumcision. We're going to see the Abraham's promised son, not the promised son, but the one that Abram and Sarai will have begin to come in the picture. And then we'll move on from there in the next coming weeks and see Sodom and Gomorrah return to the picture. And the third occurrence with Lot. So as we depart this week, I encourage you to read that section for next week and prepare yourself. Because there's a lot that goes on in it. There's a lot to cover in it. And I pray that you would take the knowledge of Genesis, though it's the first book, it's the Old Testament, you know, but I pray still there's so much to apply to our lives today regarding our walk with Christ and our faith. And I pray that you would apply that to your life. I thank you all for joining me, and I hope to see y'all next time. Thank you.